Hello, everyone. My name is Tom Regan, and welcome to Recovery Chronicles. This is a program on which we interview people in long-term recovery, and I'm a person in long-term recovery myself. I'm also a licensed addiction counselor and a certified grief counselor, and boy, we've got a very, very special program for you today, and I've been looking forward to this. First of all, our former police chief, Dan Donlin, is here. He's just a couple of feet away from me at the microphone. Welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
And a good friend of mine, Tyler Auk, is here. And he is now a licensed addiction counselor. Congratulations. But he is a person in long-term recovery and one of the first guests on this program. I think when you were on this program, maybe you were just starting school, or maybe not yet, to become an addiction counselor. Do you remember?
Yeah, I was just finishing up.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Coming down to the last year before the internship.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, and interestingly, Dan and Tyler are now speaking together, and they did a TEDx, and this is the topic. They knew each other when Tyler was actively using, and Dan, I'm sure, arrested Tyler a number of times, and developed some sort of relationship. But once Tyler cleaned up his act and went through treatment and such and entered recovery, the two became friends and actually started having coffee together and such. And so they do this presentation together on stage. I haven't seen the whole TEDx yet, but I'm looking forward. There was a magazine story published that the two of you wrote. It was published in the North Dakota Humanities Council publication. But
their Second Thoughts magazine.
Yeah. So this is exciting, and so I don't even know how to start, other than to say, do you remember when you first met Tyler?
In those days. Tom, I go back to thinking about that, and I was a young police officer. I started at the Bismarck Police Department in 1988, and I was on patrol for about 4.5 years or so, and then moved into investigations. And during those times, I just remember coming across the name Tyler Auk, and here's this kid again. See, back when he's a juvenile, it was all confidential, couldn't speak about it.
Right.
But Tyler and I are working together to really talk about addiction and recovery, forgiveness and hope, and things like that, and how a cop and a former ex-criminal, that was doing some criminal activity, how could we actually even become friends?
Yeah.
And it kind of astounds us every once in a while when we sit and think about it. But yeah, Tyler's name came across my radio or my desk numerous times and had to investigate him. And just thought that this was a kid that was in a lot of trouble and was having a very difficult life, obviously, and was making some pretty... what I thought were serious bad choices in using and abusing alcohol and drugs and different things. And I just did my job, moved along, and heard the name. It's a name I would never, ever forget in my career. There's a few that you never forget, and Tyler was one of them. And I then had totally forgotten about Tyler until about 2015, but when we had a just-by-chance meeting. But Tyler can talk a little bit about those days when I was a young cop and
sure.
He was in high school and stuff.
Yeah, so what was your impression of Officer Donlin?
Well, he was a thorn in my side, if you want to say that. It was always that name that was slowing me down. And I grew up, and some things happened to me over my life that have changed me. And as I got older and I added drugs and alcohol to that equation, the criminal activity really kicked in.
Yeah.
And, and I had to do what I had to do to survive. And that was, robbing places. And, I remember being 16, 17 years old and I'd wake up in the morning and I was shaking.
Yeah.
Because I needed drugs and alcohol and I really didn't know why. So then I would go get drunk and I'd go rob places and I would steal from people and I would, I was a fighter and when I drank there was destruction across our community. It breaks my heart today to think about it, what I had done to our community, but But by doing the next right thing today, it changes the way those things laid there in my life. And you know, and Dan's name always came up. You know, I remember 17 years old, I was facing 35 years in prison, and I'm sitting across from my attorney, and Dan's name was on almost a lot of the things that I had done, and I just disliked him, you know.
Yeah.
And I never ended up going to prison by some sort of chance, but it just played out the way it was supposed to play out.
And now you're friends today. I mean, it is one of those heartwarming stories, really. So what what do each of you get out of this friendship? I mean, it's a besides fellowship, but
man, it's you know, when we first met and that morning, you know, I was cleaning snow at the Capitol, and I was in the skid steer, and I seen Dan walking into the Capitol building, and I'd been thinking about some sobriety, and I'd been thinking about Dan over that time, and I wanted to jump out and say I was sorry to him that day, but my legs didn't work.
And when he tells that story, when we're up on stage and talks about that, that's the point where I just stop and say, Tyler, it's a good thing your legs didn't work, because if you would have come running at me at that point in time, it would not have been a good deal.
Sure.
So,
Yeah.
And I had just been going into the Capitol for some legislative work and things like that. I wouldn't even recognize him. I don't know at that point.
And when you say your legs didn't work, you mean you were just too shy about
it just wasn't our time.
It wasn't
meant to be that day. You know, I wasn't far enough along in my recovery to where I could start making that amend.
Okay, sure.
Or if you're feel comfortable approaching me or talking or anything.
Yeah. You know, it would have just been a bunch of, you know, I would have just blurted a bunch of stuff out, and you know, it just wasn't time.
And when I think about that, and again, I didn't know he was there. I just walked into the Capitol, and he did not approach me on that day. I don't know that it would have ended up the way it is right now. When I think about that, it would have just been, oh, hey, how you doing? And well, all right, good for you. See you later type thing. I don't think there would have been a connection like there was in September of 2015 when we ended up actually meeting each other again for the first time in years.
Yeah. I'm sure that, and one of the purposes of this program, Recovery Chronicles, and you know, by the way, our guests are Dan Donlan and Tyler Houck. One of the purposes of this program is to create awareness about addiction in our community, in our state, and then, of course, to create hope as well. But what, and I'm sure what you are doing right now, speaking together, is creating a lot of awareness. And what are some of the things that you'd that people need to know about addiction in our community?
Well, if I can just start and just predate that just a little bit, Tom, is, you know, when I go back, because, you know, where's my role in the story? This is a story about Tyler and many other people like Tyler that fight this issue and fight this devil of addiction. And it's very difficult. I have some personal experience in that regard within families that I'm aware of. But I also personally... drugs and alcohol have affected me very significantly in my career. I was involved in a shooting incident in 2003 that turned out to be a 14-hour standoff. Armed, barricaded individuals that were doing drugs, selling drugs, ended up barricading themselves and opened fire on us when we were down there to make some arrests. Three officers were shot in that incident. One officer was injured. Luckily, the vest and other... tools stopped the bullets from entering the bodies of the other two officers, but one officer was shot in the leg.
Yeah.
And I was in that residence when the rounds were fired, going right by my head and all that. And that ended 13 hours later when there was a final exchange of gunfire. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending how you look at it in the community, but I ended up shooting and killing an individual, one of the individuals that was shooting at us. Not something I'd never wanted to do in my life, let alone in my career.
Yeah.
Knew it was a possibility, knew that we had to protect ourselves and others, But I've had to live with that, and that's been hard to live with. Yeah. So drug and alcohol addiction and issues that surround that have deeply affected me. And I have compassion for individuals that are fighting that, that are every day, every hour and minute, they have to make this decision, and it's always there. So that's where I kind of come around to having a lot of respect for individuals that are really trying to fight through this. And I want to show from a human standpoint and from a police officer standpoint that I'm here and other officers are here to support individuals that are fighting this addiction issue.
You've been such a good friend to Heartview, and in this community, it seems, whenever addiction and recovery and treatment are discussed, you're at the table.
Well, and I'm very thankful. Kathy Palczewski with Heartview has invited me now twice to come in and speak with patients.
That's right.
With the patients.
That's kind of the last time I saw you, too.
Yeah.
You were in the lobby.
It's a great opportunity. Here I am. Now I'm a retired police officer, but walking in as this law enforcement official that most individuals in addiction and are getting held accountable for it criminally or whatever, they don't like cops, you know?
Sure.
But here I am just walking as a cop or a former cop and as a human being to tell my story and then how Tyler and I connected and how we're working together to try to break down this stigma of addiction.
Mm-hmm. So TED Talks, for example, how many minutes did you say? So,
I think it was 15 or 16.
Yeah, they're pretty short. We have a little more time on this on this radio program, but so how do you've got one heck of a story, Tyler, about your addiction and recovery. How do you boil all of that down into a powerful TED Talk message? What are some of the things you touch upon?
Well, it's about, you know, forgiveness, strength, and hope. You know, it's just to, you know, I stand here today for the people that are still out there suffering. You know, that's why I do the things that I'm doing in our community is because of those people that are alone right now.
Yes.
And that feel like there's no way out. So, you know, when you prepare for something like that, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, what's appropriate. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go through a life that a lot of things have happened in.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to ask yourself, is this going to harm anyone? Mm-hmm. Is this, you know, is this going to...
Is it going to trigger?
Is this going to help? Or, yeah. Yep, mm-hmm. yep.
Sometimes, yep.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it, a lot of thought process, but you just come up with a short little path to where we've gotten today in our friendship and where it's going.
Yeah. I'll never forget, I think the first time I ever heard your story, it might have even been on the Hill, you know, at the Capitol, but that, if you don't mind, because it is so dramatic, the time that you were left to die, but
do you mind
touching upon that?
No, not at all. I overdosed on heroin and cocaine, and I was with some people that were, supposedly my friends. Yeah. And they drugged me out of an apartment building and tried to throw me in a dumpster.
Because they were scared, right?
They thought, they were scared and, you know, a little bit of bad people. And, you know, it was a cool combination of things. You don't know what to do in that situation. Mm-hmm. So their best thought was to get rid of me. And they couldn't get me in the dumpster, and I ended up, you know, going to the hospital. But, you know, the thing is when I got out of the hospital, within a half hour of when I was back home in Colorado, I was using the same drugs that just about killed me, you know, a couple days before.
Yeah.
That was my disease.
Sure.
And, you know, it just had me, you know, had its grasp around my throat and, you know, it just strangled me every day. Yeah. And I didn't know any way out.
Yeah. Was there a moment, what was the straw that broke the camel's back, or what was the defining moment where you finally knew enough was enough? You were sick and tired of being sick and tired, or you know what I mean. Was there an aha moment?
Well, I think there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, over my life, you know, there were teachers that believed in me when no one else believed in me. Mm. There were people that were kind to me when they didn't have to be kind to me. It was all of those little things over my life. And each time I broke was one of those things that, you know, it was a turning moment in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I just was looking at death and it was, you know, and I had looked at it most of my life. Mm-hmm. And this time it was just different.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why, I don't know how, but it happened.
Yeah.
You know, the right people were placed in my life and, And I'm one of the lucky ones.
And now you're an addiction counselor. You're a licensed.
I am a licensed addiction counselor.
So tell us the story. How did you two reconnect then? What happened? What was that? What's the story behind that?
I'll let Tyler start.
I had done some speaking at treatment center, so I got asked to speak in this walk, March Into the Light.
Right. And I was there.
2015.
Yeah. So was I.
I remember that. Yeah.
In that morning, you know, and this is where it was meant to be. And this is where it started. But, you know, I got asked to speak and I'm up there and I'm getting ready and I'm with my family and they hand Dan the microphone before me.
So I attended this March Into the Light, the Walk for Recovery, again, talking about the background that I just had. And so I went there as a human being, but I went there as the police chief of the Bismarck Police Department to participate and support the recovery community.
Yeah.
The police are not the enemy. Yes, we have to enforce the law, but we truly care about people. And you know what? Sometimes lives get saved by one arrest at a time, as well as people that are using and addicted making the one decision at a time to not use. But so I was there just to show my support. It was a dark, chilly morning and had a hooded sweatshirt on and just kind of wanted to just be there to walk and show support. Recognized a few people when I got there and can't remember who the actual host was, but then they just said, oh, well, would you just like to say a few words? Unplanned. Yeah. I said, sure, I can do that. So they handed me the microphone and I had no clue Tyler was there. I hadn't even thought of the name Tyler Alk in years.
Yeah.
So I said a few words. I just, you know, out of compassion and out of heartfelt caring for individuals that are going through this struggle. And I just announced Dan Donlan, and I said the words I had to say, and then I was done, and I'm here to support you, and law enforcement supports you. And then I go where cops like to go best, which is in the back of the crowd and make sure we can see everybody.
Yeah.
And I just sat back there, and then, you know, they were going to have another speaker or two that came up. And then all of a sudden I hear in our next speaker is Tyler Alk. And I went, picked up my head, and I started peeking around and looking, and I went, who? And this is the first time I've heard this name, and I've seen this person in a long time.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, oh, man, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm standing up there, and I'm preparing, and when I heard Dan's name, I wanted to run. Yeah. I looked back across the field and thought, man, there's only a few fences. I'm going to I want to run, but. You know, my legs didn't work.
Again.
They didn't work again, yeah. You know, and
plus your wife was there.
My wife was there, and my kids were there. But, you know, and so I said a few words, and you know, my name's Tyler. I'm a person in long-term recovery. I've been sober for, you know, since January 5th, 2011. And I said, Dan over there used to investigate me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he goes, hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
I just went, hi, Tyler. And it was very awkward. It really was. It was awkward at the time.
Yeah. It was. So then I finished up, and, you know, and I went right to Dan. You know, and I stuck out my hand, and he grabbed it and shook it, and he hugged me.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me how proud of me he was, you know, and I just started saying I was sorry and making amends.
Well, when I heard his very short version in his, you know, the little speech that he gave, the short version of his recovery, and he's been in recovery for that many years at the time, I just thought, holy cow, good for him. I can't believe it, but good for him.
Yeah.
And then I met his family. He introduced me to his family, and his kids were there and his wife. And I could just tell at that moment, he was creating a beautiful life. And I just thought, this is, God is good. This is just awesome. And from there, we just kind of did our walk thing. And, you know, we'll joke about, I kept looking to make sure he wasn't behind me, and he kept looking to make sure I wasn't behind him on the walk. But it was just a good time, and we kind of just parted ways. And when he apologized profusely about the havoc he created in the community, and I just said, you know, that's done, it's past, it's over.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes, you know. Yeah. And that's maybe where I hopefully got across to him that I'm not here to judge him. You know, I did had a job to do when we were younger, but I'm not here to judge him. In fact, now I'm here to support him.
Right.
And the next step was his, actually, after how we got together.
Yeah, and I didn't feel any judgment from Dan at all. Not even a thought of it. And you know, and so I sent him an email, and you know, saying I was sorry again, and all the things that I thought I needed to say, and we ended up starting to have coffee. You know, I remember that first meeting, you know, before I went and met with him, I researched statute of limitations because there were some things that I had done that I haven't been caught for. And I thought, you know, this is a set. This is a setup. You know?
Yeah, I thought we were gonna, I'm setting them up to meet for coffee. That's, but when he's checking statute of limitations, I was checking warrants to make sure there were no current warrants out for him either.
Yep.
Amazing. So again, and if you just tuned in, our guests are Dan Donlan, former police chief, and Tyler Auk, a person in long-term recovery, and certainly a good friend to Hartview also. But so now you're speaking together, and you've presented together a number of times, including a TEDx talk. So how do people react, and what are some of the comments that you've heard after your presentation?
I'm going to let him anchor this and finish it. I'm going to start it right away when we're done. One, it's obvious we have a very attentive audience. Every time it's been very attentive. It's a pretty intriguing story. And then I don't think there has been one time that we have not received a standing ovation, which just floors me. And a lot of that, I think, just attests to a law enforcement officer and a recovering addict getting together, but it really is about the Tyler story and stories of those individuals that go through this that really resonates. And then I know Tyler can talk about, because he gets a lot of people that come up to him afterwards and start talking about their recovery or loved ones they have that are struggling as well.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we get up there and we speak, and you look across the crowd and you see people crying and you see people affected by it because this disease touches everyone nowadays. You know, it's so close to home for so many people.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And afterwards, you know, we go stand on the side and people come up and they hug us and they thank us. And I have people tell me things that they've probably never told anyone in their life.
Yeah.
You know, and they tell me that their kids struggle with the disease, that their mom, that their brothers, that their sisters, you name it, that they did over their lives. You know, when you share that kind of pain with people, it makes them feel safe enough to share theirs.
Right.
And that's beautiful.
Yeah. The power of self-disclosure, you know, and they can hear your TEDx presentation on YouTube. You said.
Yep. So it's on YouTube. Yep.
People can look it up
It was a University of Mary TEDx program, so they could just Google that, and it's out there.
I think I've heard some broadcasts of that of those University of Mary TED Talks, too, perhaps on Prairie Public. I'm not sure where. But so what's next for you two? Do you have anything, any presentations scheduled or places you'd like to speak at or—
You know, I'm not sure that we have any. And we just got done with one for the state WSI staff. They had an all staff meeting, and that went well there because this affects workforce as well. Individuals using and addicted that affects the workforce and injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, right now we don't ask.
Yes.
To tell our story.
Right, you're not advertising, you know, so to speak.
Not at all. Yeah. You know, it just happens the way it's supposed to happen.
Kind of a word of mouth type thing.
Yep. You know, and if any of our listeners want to get a hold of you, what would be the best way? If they could call me, I could put them in. But what would be the best way, do you think, if they'd like to book you to—
For me now, you know, since I don't work at the police department anymore, I'm on Facebook. They could just look me up, private message on Facebook.
Yeah, and Facebook and LinkedIn.
You too, LinkedIn. Okay, and what do you What do you call your presentation? I mean, I want to call, you know, the addict and the cop, or what do you know? I'm just teasing, but does a presentation have a name?
The cop and the ex-criminal.
Okay. Cop and the ex-criminal, and then the tagline's an unlikely friendship.
Friendship,
Yeah, I guess that was the title of the magazine story in the Humanities publication.
Yeah, and we have copies of the story that we hand out at these events. And you know, we've gotten so much support from the humanities. Brenna Gerhardt has been amazing.
Yeah, wonderful. And, you know, you spread so much hope. You know, and I hope that this radio program does that too. I hope it gives people hope that there is a way. It recovery does happen. It can happen. But the two of you doing this together, you're spreading hope, inspiration, love, you know, just all sorts of those good. When I think of you, I think of all the hope that you're spreading and that you continue to spread. And we, you know, you come over to Hartview and speak when we ask you to speak to our. And now you're doing that too.
Correct.
Dan, yeah, we'll have to have you back.
Thank you. Based on this, what Tyler and I have been doing too, I've even had some other individuals that have had some bad encounters with me in the past. For many of the same reasons, are reaching out to me again. And it's nothing more than just, hey, I was in a bad place back then. I'm in recovery and I'm in a much better place. Yeah, and so. Just that acknowledgement from me that, you know, and from other officers that, you know, that now know where they're at, to just be proud of them for what they have to go through. Tyler has fought through more things. I've been in a hail of bullets. Yep, I get that in my job. A lot of stress, a lot of conflict and type stuff.
Yeah.
But nothing compares to what Tyler and individuals like Tyler are fighting through every day of their life just to get up and get that grasp of air that they can breathe and have a productive life as they move forward.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask both of you, and I told you this would go fast. We've got about two minutes left. So for people listening to this program right now, and this is a question I usually ask, and they know they're in trouble, and they've been putting it off, and they know they have to do something about their addiction, about their using. From each of you, what's your best advice?
He's going to have the way more in-depth information, so I'm just going to say, reach out. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of the stigma of being a drug user, being addicted. Yeah. You know, more and more we're trying to educate the community that, that first choice to do this type of activities and these things is a choice. But when that addiction kicks in, that choice kind of goes away. That is not an easy thing anymore. And that addiction is now a huge battle and a huge struggle. And we need to break down that stigma. Tyler's got a great saying, love the people that are the hardest to love. So they, from my perspective, they need to reach that hand out, whether it's to Hartview, to family, for help. And then Tyler certainly knows that ring now.
Yeah, nice. Thank you. Go ahead.
You know, I just tell people to hang on.
Yeah.
And pay attention to the people that are out there caring for you. Mm-hmm. And there is hope. You know, it's not a dead-end road for everyone. You know, there's a way out. You just have to walk towards it. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's treatment, whether it's, you know, community support groups, you know, there are many paths to recovery.
Right. Spirituality.
Yes, there's so many different paths to recovery. Yeah. And there are people out there that have walked the same path as you. And find those people.
Yeah. Amen to that. And I want to thank the both of you for, you know, the wonderful work that you do and have done in our community. I hope we're all fighting the good fight, you know. So, as you know, we like to close this program, and I should say again, our guests were Dan Donlan, former police chief of Bismarck, Tyler Auk, and we close this program with the Serenity Prayer. So it seems appropriate. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference. Thanks again to both of you.
Thank you.
I sing the song because I love the man. I know that some of you don't understand. Milk blood to keep from running out. I've seen the needle and the damage done. A little part of it in everyone. But every junkie's like a setting sun.